Hello, it is Overreaction Monday, November 2nd, 2020. November already.
Moving right along.
Wow, man. There's a lot of things that happen in November. You know, there's like the no shave.
Sure.
November, there's the Movember for the mustache folks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are happening in this particular country here in the next day or so.
Yeah.
Trade deadline in the NFL, to be exact. There's a lot of things to talk about. What teams are dead? What teams are alive? What teams are thriving? We'll talk to Darius Butler today. He'll give us an over-under on passing yards for tonight's Buccaneers-Giants matchup, which people are calling riveting before it even happens. We'll also talk to Adam Schefter. Hey, Schefty, any scoops on what's going to go down tomorrow in the trade deadline world? Huh? Huh? What do you know, Schefty?
Hopefully he's got a couple good scoops.
You think he has any presidential scoops?
Maybe. We should probably ask.
Have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Any late trades right before the election day that could potentially put somebody over the top?
That's a great point.
How diverse is Schefty? We'll find out. And also, we have Joe Tessitore, incredible Italian-American, who got a chance to call his son run like a fake field goal kind of hard count, make Clemson jump off sides this weekend. He called it, saying Tessitore's under center. What a moment that is. Can't wait to chat with him. Today's conversation should be a great one. We can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to us. We understand that there's a lot of things that could penetrate your ear holes. The fact that you allow us to do so, we are eternally grateful. If you like the show, be a friend, tell a friend. If you hate the show, just act like it never, ever happened. Let's get to it. What did we learn yesterday in the NFL? Well, I'll tell you what, we learned a lot of things. The Patriots are dead.
Whoa.
Patriots are dead, it feels like, right now at this moment. Coming off of COVID, it feels like it absolutely killed them. Bye-bye to the New England Patriots' 20-year run over the AFC East and the AFC and the NFL as a whole. Since testing positive for COVID, Cam Newton has zero touchdown passes, five interceptions, three fumbles. He's been sacked seven times, and they are 0-3. Now, the Buffalo Bills did not cover, which was very frustrating, obviously, but they did get a dub and cement themselves as the new leader in the clubhouse in the AFC East. Shout out to the Bills and shout out to New England for a hell of a run for 10 years.
Good run.
It was a good run.
Good run.
Sometimes you can't help but just smile because it happened, as opposed to cry because it's over. And there was a lot of conversations in New England about when old Tommy Foxborough decided to get out of town. Who's going to have a better 2020 NFL season? Was it going to be Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots? Or was it going to be Tom Brady down there in Tampa? Was it Tom that made the Patriot way? Or was the Patriot way able to win no matter who was there? Well, we are finding out here now, 8 weeks into the 2020 NFL season. Tom Brady seems to be going with no problems at all. And the New England Patriots seem to be completely dead. Now, I do not believe that this means they'll be dead forever, dead for long. No, but they are currently dead for the moment. Some other teams that are also potentially dead were found out yesterday, but the teams that are alive had hell of a day. Shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers remaining undefeated, playing against a John Harbaugh-led Baltimore Ravens squad that whenever he was coaching were 10-2 coming off of bye weeks. If you do recall, the Pittsburgh Steelers bye week was moved to week four because the Tennessee Titans couldn't handle COVID. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who played terrible football in the first half, absolutely terrible football, come back in the second half with Ben Roethlisberger admittedly drawing up plays in the dirt in Baltimore and beating the Baltimore Ravens. According to Chris Adamski of The Trib, he says Ben says he was literally making up play calls on the field in their muddle huddle thing in the second half. Ben said, I know everybody says I do well in playground backyard football. Today, it was that in its truest form. Shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers remaining undefeated. The only undefeated NFL team still, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do they have their eyes on the 72 Dolphins? Do they have their eyes on a run like we have never seen before? Are the Pittsburgh Steelers 1 year removed from having a duck at quarterback about to go on a run because Ben Roethlisberger gave up porn, gave up booze, and has a brand new elbow? Chase Claypool, their rookie sensation wide receiver, 7 touchdowns, 7 games. He tweeted out afterwards, losing? Never heard of her. It feels like the Pittsburgh Steelers organization feels very good about themselves. Mike Tomlin now has the most wins of any African-American quarterback in the history of the NFL. Congratulations to Mike Tomlin. Congratulations to the Steelers. And big congratulations to Big Bob Spokane, linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers with a pick six in the very early part of the game and a game-sealing play at the end of the game. Bob Spokane is a new hero in Pittsburgh, and there's another one on their way. The Pittsburgh Steelers have made a trade with the New York Jets to get a guy that none of us knew existed. Avery Williamson is moving to the Pittsburgh Steelers now. He posted a picture of him outside in Manhattan, thumb up as if he's hitchhiking to get the fuck out of the Jets organization. Now he goes from 0-7 to 7-0 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Congratulations to him. Trade deadline, obviously everybody's been talking about it. The world has almost stopped. The trade deadline is tomorrow, Tuesday, November 3rd. There's a lot of moves that could be made. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers somehow, some way, lose to the Minnesota Vikings when Dalvin Cook has 226 yards from the line of scrimmage. 226 total yards on 32 touches, four total touchdowns. He's the first Vikings with our first Viking player with four plus scrimmage touchdowns in a game since Ahmad Rashad. Shout out to Ahmad Rashad in 1979. The Green Bay Packers still have one of the most electric offenses in football whenever they only have one real weapon in Davante Adams. That's nothing against Big Bob Tonyan, who's been making a lot of great plays. And now they have a running back, A.J. Dillon, who tested positive for COVID. Aaron Jones was out. Who else will be out? The Green Bay Packers are potentially movers and shakers before this trade deadline. If you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers, like we all are, because Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays have been so much fun, you would think that this Packers team, who fell victim to a team yesterday in the same exact fashion they did in the NFC Championship game, where they couldn't stop a damn cold. They couldn't stop anything if their lives depended upon it. Aaron Rodgers has like three touchdowns yesterday, throws for 200 and some yards, gets absolutely killed at the end, and it never really felt like they had a chance because the Vikings were able to do whatever the hell they wanted with it the entire time. Will the Green Bay Packers make a play before tomorrow's trade deadline? Well, we'll talk to Adam Schefter at 1 o'clock basically to see what he's hearing, what he's thinking. They feel like a team that has to make a move if they want to be able to keep up with the other NFC studs. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers just brought in Antonio Brown. It wasn't a trade, but brought a guy off the street, off of a suspension. He'll be playing next week. The Seattle Seahawks, to their credit, brought in Carlos Dunlap from the Cincinnati Bengals because they noticed that they had a defensive problem. I'll be excited to see if Russell Wilson can continue to play the football that he played yesterday, because Russell Wilson was back to being Bob Ross with a paintbrush on a canvas. Absolutely gorgeous. Now, just 1 week ago, he threw three interceptions in a primetime game.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Three interceptions. A lot of people are saying, did Russell Wilson lose it? Has Russell Wilson lost the magical touch that he's had for most of his career in the beginning of this season, throwing three interceptions, losing a game, and keeping him moving? A lot of people are asking, like, well, not us.
No.
We never do that because we have a lot of respect for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Ain't that right, Ty?
Absolutely.
So, but him getting back to work yesterday, I think, is a direct result of that music video he and Sierra made for Halloween. He dressed up as Busta Rhymes. She dressed up as
Janet Jackson.
And they made a music video that was so damn natural, so damn unbelievable that Russell Wilson couldn't help but ball out yesterday. DK Metcalf is an absolute stud. Russell Wilson is unbelievable. Will Carlos Dunlap and maybe Earl's return for that Seattle Seahawks defense give them enough to make a run? Potentially. But I do know the NFC seems to be a one-horse race through Tampa at this exact moment, and we'll see how they do tonight against the New York Giants. By the way, I've gone 2-2 so far gambling in the NFL Week 8, Thursday night with a win. Yesterday went 1-2. Tonight I will be hammering a lot of things in this Tampa Bay-New York Giants game to try to get back and stay on the positive side, because my NFL gambling run this season has been second to none in this pinky ring from Hammer Don. Feels very good, so I have to keep it. I like the Buccaneers tonight a lot. We'll talk to Darius Butler in about 15 minutes to see whether or not we like Tom Brady's over or under on passing yards. It should be a great time. And in the third hour, we talk to Italian-American Joe Tessitore, host of Holy Moly on ABC. This past weekend, he got a chance to call his son's game. game. His son plays for Boston College. They took on Clemson, almost upset Clemson early. A lot of people thought there was bigger problems than just DJ Uiagalelei playing quarterback in lieu of Trevor Lawrence. Thank you. Feel very good about
well
that.
Done.
Defense gave up 28 points to Boston College. One of those points, or some of those points, were scored after Joe Tessitore's son, John Tessitore, who's a holder for Boston College, got up under center, hard count, lack of discipline. Clemson jumps off sides, first down, magical moment between Joe and John. We'll talk to him about that. And everything else happening in your world, our world, the sports world, 1-888-MAD-DOG-6. We want you to join us here on Sirius XM Channel 82, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's introduce the boys now at Tone Diggs. Yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers were not supposed to win that game. Stats say they weren't supposed to win that game. John Harbaugh, 10-2, coming off of bye weeks. The Steelers, early bye week, which could bite them in the ass in the end of the season, but let's not talk about that right now. We'll overreact to that later. Pittsburgh Steelers still undefeated. That defense is very opportunistic, and it feels like when Ben has to make a play, he makes a play. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I got to be thinking 1972 Dolphins, go eat shit, pal. We're coming for the undefeated record like nobody else has.
Yeah, and we have really have one person to thank for that, and things continually to go as the stats say they will, is Lamar Jackson not being able to throw the ball and being terrible against really good teams. So shout out Lamar.
Well, see, you have to be so negative there. It did feel as if there was a lot of turnovers yesterday. Our guy Bob Spokane, he had a pick. What's that?
Spillane.
Yeah, Bob Spokane.
Yeah. Bob Nitrain Spillane.
Please have some respect Spumoni. For Bob Spillane. Okay. Please.
All right, listen, I love Bob Spokane. That's why I'm fucking talking about the guy right now. Pick six early, awesome. Then later in the game, when Lamar had to make plays with his arms, it felt like that was when the Steelers defense was just going to make some plays. And that is kind of the recipe. If you look at what the Titans did last year, then the Chiefs, and now the Steelers. And I think Lamar threw some beautiful balls yesterday, by the way. He fits them into a bucket. There was a touchdown score immediately after an interception. Where he threw it only where his guy. There are glimpses of that. The question is, will Lamar be able to do that enough to make a real run in the AFC? That's going to be the biggest question, because the Pittsburgh Steelers, not just the head of the AFC North now, which was the Baltimore Ravens division here last year, but all of AFC, it feels like the Steelers are the team right now.
And they should win their next three games, should, against Dallas, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville. And then they have a rematch Thanksgiving night against the same Baltimore Ravens team, potentially 10-0 versus the Ravens going to that one.
Do not overlook Joey Burrow and those Cincinnati Bengals. They fucked over a lot of bets for a lot of people this weekend with the Tennessee Titans shitting the bed against the Cincinnati Bengals. Joey Burrow has something about him. I think we all saw it whenever he was down there at LSU. This competitive drive, this grit, this ability to will your team to be in it. They've been in a lot of games that they shouldn't be in, right, this year. That Browns-Cincinnati game was very close game, obviously, with the Browns getting the win, losing OBJ, and looking like absolute dog shit yesterday against the Raiders, by the way. Now, they're saying 30-mile-an-hour winds, you can't really judge people. I agree completely. The Raiders went in there, though, from the desert and get a win in the 30-mile-an-hour winds. That could be tough without Odell Beckham Jr. But what the Bengals did yesterday to the Titans was like a goddamn moment. I was very impressed by that. I hammered the Titans. We all did. We all thought this was a walk-away game for the Tennessee Titans. They were favored by 7. Everybody thought potential double-digit win there. They did not, because the Bengals were good. But those next three games, Cowboys stink. They suck so bad. I don't know how you can suck that bad and be the Dallas Cowboys. Last night, Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz. I've never seen somebody so lackadaisical with the football, being a guy who has played in big-time games and isn't like a rookie. That first drive or whatever, where he was just directing traffic, and he was staring at a Cowboys guy, directing traffic, just chill. Could have thrown it away. Very easily could have thrown it away. Could have put it in his left hand, thrown it away.
Yep.
Could have just taken a sack, which everybody would have been like, that's a dumb sack to take. You should have just thrown it away. Instead, he takes a strip sack without even paying attention. Boom, ball slips out. Dallas Cowboys and Danucci come jogging on the field. Carson Wentz played terrible. Cowboys still couldn't win. Okay, couldn't even cover 10.5 against that terrible Eagles team. The Cowboys stink. If the Steelers, now I said this about the Bills and they couldn't do it, and who knows what's going to happen with the weather wherever the Steelers are playing the Cowboys. Is that down in Dallas?
I believe so.
If it's down in Dallas, if the Steelers don't win by 50 here, I think we got to ask some questions on whether or not the Steelers team's real. I think we have to ask whether this Cowboys team is just dead. They did a lot of talking last night about DeMarcus Lawrence, how much effort he gives every single play. They're trying to sell DeMarcus Lawrence on the broadcast heavily. They're like, hey, listen, we're taking a lot of shots at this whole team, but DeMarcus Lawrence, he does not deserve it. Are they trying to trade him, you think? Is he?
He just got paid, what was it, last year too?
A lot of money.
Yeah. But they were talking him up a lot, and it's like there's a couple guys on that team that you have to just feel terrible for, okay? Old Vanden Bosch or whatever the hell his name is. Feel terrible for that guy, okay? Feel terrible for that guy. Feels Sean Lee, how about he's going to die in a Cowboys jersey. Yeah. He's back last night. That team just stinks, dude. And I don't know if it's Mike McCarthy's fault. Got real creative with the play calling last night.
He did.
He tried to get Danucci on a run and do a lot of that stuff and a couple double reverses and all that shit. They stink. The Steelers should win by 50 there. I don't know what the early line is.
It's not out.
Yeah, smart. Vegas is like, well, what the fuck? Like, are they going to play Danucci? Are they playing fucking Graham Gilbert or whatever the fucking guy's name is? Graham Gilbert from the Atlanta Apollos or something? They are in a terrible spot. And Jerry Jones, he's given up on the mask, by the way. They took a picture of him. It's going to take all of us.
Jerry.
Forgot, apparently.
There was somebody sitting above him that reached and grabbed their mask. They weren't even on camera, and Jerry didn't even budge. Fuck the mask. This Cowboys team is going to kill me way before. They're bad. Good for the Steelers. Speaking of bad football, the Patriots have been playing very bad football at this moment. Currently 2-5, losing the last four straight, I believe.
Yes.
Lost the last four. That's tough where you got to be right now. Because early, a lot of hype, okay, from us, from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Cam Newton's back. Here we go. He's playing. The team's rolling. He even alluded to it, how after the Raiders win, I think, they were steamrolling. And then COVID came in and just – I mean, COVID just came in, and that's something Bill Belichick could have never prepared for. You could be the best coach of all time, Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
You could know situational football better than anybody else, which Bill Belichick does. Mm-hmm. You could have been there, done that with everything, but the thing about COVID is nobody was ever prepared for it.
Nope.
And it's taken out the Patriots completely, and Cam Newton is a completely different football player. He might be done for forever.
First time we've lost four straight games since 2002. Ooh. 2-5 means two things for me personally. One, I'm smoking cigarettes again. And two, of course.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. And two, we got a 4.8% chance to
Nobody
make the playoffs.
Nobody smokes cigarettes anymore.
This guy does when the Patriots are 2-5. Okay? You need them.
Yeah, but think about how weak you are. How old are you?
25.
Okay, so the last time the Patriots stunk was when he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
Patriots think now he's not even mentally tough enough to not go back into a cancer stick addiction just because one bad year. You might be the most mentally soft human I've ever been around in my entire life.
No, my friend. I was smoking butts when I was 5, and they won 2-5 as well. I mean, there's no difference to this season than it was back then.
And there's no difference between you in the human that you were back then, and that's the problem. That's what we're kind of talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Can't be changed. The only thing is with the Patriots is four teams have been able to go 2-5 and then make it to the playoffs since 2010. And if any team's going to do it, it's going to be a Bill Belichick-led team.
This was the first time in my life I bet against Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I bet against Bill Belichick this past weekend. I just thought this was a game that the Bills would come out and just stomp all over the Patriots. Now, they got the win. They should be excited. We beat the Big Bad Wolf. We are. But I thought they'd at least be able to cover 3.5-4 points at that point.
Yeah.
They did not.
Nope.
Bill did make it a game. Cam Newton has thrown for 0 touchdowns in 3 games, and they were still almost in that thing to win it at the end, which makes you think that Bill Belichick is still coaching his ass off out there, but I don't know if they just have it. Tom Curran told us before the season started, the Cavalry's not coming over the hill, pal. That team stinks is what he said, and it feels like we're all getting to watch that, and somehow, some way, that old man who's 68 years old is still keeping them in these games that they should not be in because they are a bad football team right now.
The New York Football Jets have more passing touchdowns than the Patriots do this year.
What?
The New York Football Jets.
I don't see. It's the Football Giants.
Well, in this case, it's the New York Football Jets. Yeah. It's Winnipeg.
And by the way, they're not even playing football sometimes. It looks like they're playing a completely different sport, that team. And they fucking play. They're more tutters than the Patriots. That's tough.
It is
very tough.
Absolutely brutal. And you talk about Bill Belichick coach teams. We came out of halftime and gave up a 5-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. That's never happened to Bill coming out of halftime. So I don't know what's going on.
By the way, gave up that. All the other things we've talked about, still in the game at the end with the team who's probably going to have a little bit of a run in the AFC playoffs. That is why, although we are dancing on the Patriots' grave, know that every single game, they're going to be a heart attack for the other team, regardless of where they stand, how many wins they have. Ty Schmidt, Green Bay Packers yesterday, same thing that happened in the NFC Championship game. San Francisco 49ers rushed for like 186 yards before contact in that game, which made everybody think in the offseason, the Green Bay Packers are going to address a couple issues, okay? They need another weapon, because if Devontae Adams gets covered, they're kind of fucked. Mm-hmm. They also need to figure out a way to stop the run if a team gets going. Yesterday, both of those problems seemed to come back and bite them in the ass. Could not stop Dalvin Cook for the life of them. 226 yards from scrimmage, 4 touchdowns. Everybody in America knew where the ball was going. Packers could do absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah, it's almost like all the fans knew since April what they needed to do to improve the team, but the front office didn't, which is kind of crazy. You know, I mean, you get attacked. It's like, well, they need a lot more than that. I mean, it just – Mike Pettine fucking stinks, first and foremost. They should have fired that guy after the NFC Championship last year. The only reason the defense really hasn't been a huge issue this year –
Is this overreaction Monday? This seems like real Monday.
Well, yeah. You can't lose that fucking game. You just can't lose that
especially
game.
Especially when the Super Boost is relying on
especially when
Five straight weeks of the Super Boost, okay? Steelers did their thing. Raiders did their thing. All we needed was the Packers to get a dub. They didn't need to cover anything. Packers just had to win. And old Aaron Rodgers sitting on the sideline watching the defense just let them get fucking sliced and diced by one guy.
They had 2 possessions in the first half and scored on both of them because the fucking Vikings just controlled the clock the entire time. They knew exactly what they were going to do. Kirk Cousins threw 14 passes. And for whatever reason, I mean, the blustery wind out there, they were playing 15 yards off the receivers. Like, I mean, they didn't pressure him at all. They let Dalvin Cook just ram it down their throat. Like, I mean, that's why it's tough, because I think, like you said, they need to be buyers at the trade deadline, but I don't think getting one guy on defense is going to solve any issues. Like, they really need another weapon, because like you said, when Devontae Adams, he scored all 3 touchdowns on Sunday. Guess what? The other guys can't fucking get open. I mean, every once in a while, some guy will, but like, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of why you're supposed to get better for now in the draft and free agency and not just have to trade, you know, for 10 guys.
Well, they have 1 day until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Biggest day in American history.
Yes.
Tomorrow, yeah. Tuesday, November 3rd, the 2020 NFL trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested whenever we talk to Schefter here in less than an hour if the Packers are moving, because there was alleged some smoke around him and Will Fuller, which would be a good move. And then on draft day, you know, they trade up into the first round and they don't get Patrick Queen, who's currently making plays all over the place for the Baltimore Ravens in the run game. They don't get a weapon, which there was like 10 of them available. Chase Claypool was available. Instead, they got Jordan Love, quarterback of the future, great quarterback of the future, going to carry the pack to places that many quarterbacks going. And we're not saying that. A.J. Dillon, their second round pick, they already had a pretty deep running back room, but Aaron Jones gets hurt. It's good to have him. He actually has COVID throughout the entire game, spitting on everybody, so who knows how that's going to go. They have to make a play tomorrow. Before tomorrow, if they really want to be in this. And I think everybody knows that, including the Packers faithful.
Well, you said it months ago. It's like, it's almost like they just punted on this season. You know, like, this is the same team for all intents and purposes as the team that got the doors blown off them in the NFC Championship. The guy they went out and got, Kirksey, like, he's been hurt all year. And I was like, who they got to, you know, like, well, this guy's going to stop the run. We haven't seen it.
Tough day yesterday.
I'm not panicking yet, but I'm pretty fucking close.
Well, everybody's been saying the same thing. It's like, that team, not 100% sure, going to be able to win a Super Bowl like that. Okay? You got to be able to stop the run, and you got to be able to move the ball.
Rodgers has to be perfect, like, every week, pretty much.
And unless Aaron's working on it, I'm not sure. Is he going to go out and play inside linebacker?
He should.
If he or Jordan Love could potentially go out there, then we say Gunteku is a good idea.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop anything yesterday.
No.
Is that attitude? Is that scheme? Is that one bad game? Or does this seem to be a little bit of a trend? We will see as we go. At Viva Lazito, Chicago Bears do cover. Big shout out to them. Plus 5.5. That was very nice.
At what cost?
Well, you lost.
I know.
Bears pretty much dead. Now there's a big controversy on whether or not Mitchell Trubisky should come back into the game or Nick Foles is going to be the guy. You guys got wide receivers slapping people for no reason. Well,
one wide receiver.
Kind of a scumbag move or whatever by old Whims.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. The Bears are dead, though. We all have put them in the dead category.
Yeah, only dead. Four people.
Maybe Zito hasn't.
Take your grave.
Zito, what's your poll today before we have to get to a break?
Yep. Who's the best team in the NFL right now? Right now, Bills 1.9%, Seahawks 9.2%, Chiefs 38.1%, and Steelers 50.8%.
I'll say there was a lot of discussion around the Bills being on this list, but I think Zito felt as if we'd potentially shortchanged Bills Mafia the last couple weeks.
So I chose teams with more than 6 wins.
See that?
Yeah.
See that?
Why? What happened?
No, that's good. You never told us that.
Smart
off.
Move.
Yeah, smart. Smart move.
Yeah.
Because the Buccaneers probably should be on there. And then you'd have 2 from the NFC and 2 from the AFC.
Would have made sense.
Now we got. No.
He absolutely didn't think about that until he typed out their record and then saw that they all had 6
wins. Nope. Search, check my search history.
All right. No.
No, don't do that. Don't do it.
We have some breaking news. We alluded to it at the end of the hour there. If you're just joining us on this SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel 82, Kiko Alonso has been sent to the San Francisco 49ers alongside a conditional pick, I believe, for Quan Alexander, stud linebacker from the Niners, goes down to the Saints after the Saints get a W over the Bears in overtime just yesterday. A lot of people on the internet are asking the same question. Did the Green Bay Packers know that Quan Alexander was potentially being traded out of San Francisco? And after the game they had yesterday, in the game that kicked them out of the NFC Super Bowl run last year in the NFC Championship game, would they be in the market for a linebacker? Turns out the Saints must have offered something better, or the Green Bay Packers were not even a part of it. Linebacker Quan Alexander is now at the Saints. The NFC teams continue to get better at the top of the field. Will the Green Bay Packers do anything? We've been asking since before the goddamn draft, haven't we, Ty? Also, another trade that just took place. Desmond King of the Chargers 2017 draft pick, man who's been all pro at returner and at corner. He is now a member of the Tennessee Titans team, who got blown out by the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday. So moves are being made. The deadline for all this shit is tomorrow, Tuesday, November 3rd. The biggest day in America's history.
Hell yeah.
The Let's NFL go. Trade line day. Joining us now is a man who probably has more information than anybody else in what's going on in the NFL and the trades and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Insider for ESPN, legend Adam Schefter. Schefter!
Oh, hot box.
Hello there, Pat. How you doing?
Schefter, are you in a sauna right now?
I am in an outdoor eating area trying to be respectful of my fellow patrons there, Pat.
Oh, very nice of you. Okay, Schefter, sorry. I don't want to interrupt your eating area or your potential COVID world that you're living in over there right now. Stay safe. We need you. Trade deadlines tomorrow. We just saw Quan Alexander get moved down to the Saints for Kiko Alonso and another pick. Desmond King out of the Chargers to the Titans. Is there any other notable news that is potentially going to break today? It feels like the NFL is getting very active on humans moving.
Well, listen, if there have already been 2 trades and it's 1 o'clock Eastern today, right now, that tells you that there's going to be more activity. We saw a bunch of trades last week, obviously, with Everson Griffin being traded, with Carlos Dunlap being traded. And so you got some moves last week, Yannick Ngakoue the week before. It's been very busy. Look, the NFL before the trade deadline is usually not that active. And like I said already, we've seen a handful of deals with the deadline being 4 Eastern tomorrow. So that would tell you that there will be a few more. I know there are teams calling around on certain players. We'll see how it shakes out. But, yes, those are the 2 trades that just came down within the last hour. Desmond King to the Titans and Quan Alexander to the Saints.
Okay, let's talk about Quan Alexander to the Saints, linebacker. Anytime somebody saw a linebacker move in trade deadline, your immediate thought is, what is a team that could potentially benefit from a linebacker being traded at the current time? And I think everybody is thinking the Green Bay Packers, not only do they need a linebacker to potentially shore up that defense that gave up 226 yards to Dalvin Cook yesterday, 186 yards before contact in the NFC Championship game, but they also need a weapon. Were they in on the Quan Alexander talks? And also with Will Fuller last week potentially going to the Packers in a trade, was that all bullshit or have the Packers been trying to make some moves here?
Well, I think the Packers have made some calls, as they should. I've never heard them getting close on Quan Alexander. Yes, they've explored the wide receiver market. They should be exploring the wide receiver market. And I think the Texans have been open to listening on all their wide receivers right now. Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Kenny Stills, Will Fuller. I think Houston would be open to moving just about any of them, although Fuller would be the least likely, I think, that they would wind up dealing because of the upside, because of the youth, because of the talent and the potential. I think the other guys are in play, and with Houston's record being what it is, and with that team being without first and second round draft picks, this upcoming spring, the Miami Dolphins own those picks, compliments to the Laramie Tunsil deal. I would think the Texans are going to want to try to get back whatever picks they can. And I think when you're selling players this time of the year, though, you have to remember, if you're trading some of those other wide receivers, you're not getting 100 cents on the dollar. You're just not. You're moving on from them because you don't want to pay the salary, because you want to recoup a draft pick. So we've seen other receivers traded in other years. I think Emmanuel Sanders went for a four last year. Demaryius Thomas went for a four the previous year. Gives you an idea. I know Mohamed Sanu went for a two last year, and that was a big price to pay for New England, but you're not getting back usually a first-round draft pick. I don't see Houston trading Will Fuller, but we'll see whether they do.
Okay, so let's stay in the wide receiver lane there, and Green Bay Packers in particular, because we are very close to the Green Bay Packers show here, obviously, mm-hmm. with Aaron Rodgers coming on every Tuesday. I believe you just got a text message. Hopefully that'll be able to answer this question. Are there any notable wide receivers, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, maybe Odell Beckham, even though he is currently on IR, are there any notable headline marquee-like wide receivers that potentially get moved, or is that all talk right now, you think? And are the Packers going to make an all-out play for a wide receiver, you think?
I think that they would be interested, but the question is whether they'll actually do it. And it's hard to give you absolute answers here, Pat, because things change and situations are fluid. I know you want hard answers. Look, I think Green Bay is going to make calls on wide receivers. We'll see whether they get one done. If they trade Frazier Green, he's not known for his blocking. He's a great receiver. I love A.J. Green. I think he's enormously gifted. Green Bay already has one receiver that's not a huge fan of blocking, and I think they want to run the football there a little bit. So I don't know if that gets done, but they have to be making calls on wide receivers, in my mind. I don't know that they were in on Quan Alexander.
So Shefty, they got to do something. They got to do something.
They got a chance, and they lost yesterday, and the defense needs to be a bit more aggressive and play tougher and better, and they can use some talent. They can use a wide receiver. They can use a defensive playmaker.
I agree completely, Shefty. Let's talk about in the NFC, because you alluded to it. The Seattle Seahawks got better, okay? The Saints just got better today. The top echelon of the NFC, everybody's making moves. Tampa Bay Buccaneers bringing Antonio Brown. What was the behind-the-scenes conversations? Because as you reported, the Seattle Seahawks were also interested. Pete Carroll even came out and said, we are in this thing. Was there any other teams that you know of that were also interested, or was Antonio Brown and Tom Brady pretty much a done deal?
Well, I think that was the way it was always going to go, Pat. But I think Green Bay made a call to Antonio Brown. I think that they checked in. I don't think it ever went anywhere, but they did check in to see if he'd have any interest in going to Green Bay. And I think if you're Antonio Brown, you probably would rather go to Tampa than Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, that's a heartbreak. We got an owner of the Green Bay Packers here who just heard that. And
you know what? Listen. What's the owner's name?
Ty.
Ty?
Yeah.
Ty's got to get on the phone. If you're an owner of a team.
Ty's been on the phone.
Ty's got to get on the phone and make that deal. That's Ty's fault, okay? He's got nobody to blame but himself there, Pat.
Okay, no. Let's talk about yesterday. There was some, obviously, some catastrophic injuries. Ron Stanley just got $100 million and his ankle dislocated. There was another injury that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman wouldn't even show because it was so bad. Are injuries spiking this year, or is it just marquee names getting hurt right now?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the NFL is on pace to have more ACLs, torn ACLs this year, than they have had in any recent year.
Duh.
And I think that when you come off a year like this has been with COVID, no offseason program, no preseason games, you know that there are going to be a higher than usual number of injuries, and there have been this year. If we go back to 2011, which was the work stoppage for this, when they were locked out with the CBA negotiations, the players came back that year, and there was an incredible spike in the number of torn Achilles. Oh. And it's not accidental that happens. Look, it's a violent game. You know how tough it is. I've seen the tackles you make on special teams there, Pat.
Yeah, goddamn right.
So it's a physical game. But it was always – I know. It was always going to be a situation where there were more injuries this year than there are usually, and that has borne itself out.
All right, last question here before we let you go. I know you're a very busy man. This is a big day. COVID-19 has shown up in the Green Bay Packers organization with A.J. Dillon pass or failing on the day of the game, going and playing the game, and then self-quarantining. I assume the NFL had expected this to potentially happen, or is this completely blindsided everybody, and now they have no idea what the fallout's going to be with a player who had tested positive, playing an entire game, sitting on a sideline, traveling probably together in the locker room, then finding out afterwards. This is kind of like the Justin Turner situation. Are they just keeping an eye on it, hoping that it doesn't spread, or how did this even happen?
Well, essentially he plays the game and he finds out today that he tested positive. Now you wonder about all the players he was around. You wonder whether the running backs that he's in the locker room around, that he's friendly with, whether they get it in the huddle. Like, he's in the huddle yesterday with Aaron Rodgers. How do we know that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to test positive? I mean, you don't know what's... Easy. Nobody knows, okay? Now, easy. I was on the phone this morning with a team executive, and he was telling me, like, they can't figure it out because there are players whose wives have had it, and they're sleeping in the same bed, and the player doesn't get it. So they're sleeping in the same bed every night, and they don't get the virus, and yet other people are getting the virus. Nobody knows exactly how it works. And so it's a tough situation.
Who got traded?
Who was it? Who was it? Who was it?
Come on.
Listen.
Come on,
Shaq.
Come on.
My insider skills stop at the bedroom door there, Pat.
Shefty, any other big news that we should know about, or are you just should we stay glued to your Twitter account today for any more moves that happen?
We'll see what's going to happen here. We'll see what's going to happen here. It should be a busy day.
All right. Well, have a great day, Shefty. We appreciate you taking time,
sir.
Thank
you, Pat. Appreciate you having me. Be well. Stay safe.
Hey, you too. Legendary. Hey, he got 3 text messages and a call while we were talking to him right there.
He's about to break some news.
Something's about to pop off in the Schefter world right there. How about the Packers potentially giving a call to Antonio Brown?
Oh,
love that.
That's
love
a good
that.
Little piece of information. So now maybe you get off Gundekunst a little bit. He has tried to make a couple plays. Now, he wasn't in the Quan Alexander conversation, which just took place with the Niners sending him down to the Saints. But, boy, it sounds like Gundekunst is trying to get better over there.
Okay. I mean, do something. You know, I mean, calling Antonio Brown doesn't do a goddamn thing. Go out and get Julio.
Hey.
Get Julio, damn it. They just need to do something.
It was interesting, though, that Aaron dropped Julio's name on the show last week, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he did. On our show, he said when there's star players like Julio, you know, you do probably change some things whenever you're treating him or whatever. And I didn't even know he said it for some reason. I was pulled a Connor or whatever. I didn't hear what he said. And we moved on afterwards. And I listened to the clip back on Twitter, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I should have followed up immediately there with Julio. I dropped the ball there. That's potentially the entire conversation right now, today, and tomorrow, if we get that out of Aaron. But now he potentially has COVID and is almost dead because a guy in the huddle with him has COVID. I mean, so that's on me. I want to let you know I still have places to grow in this particular world. But him dropping at Julio was not an accident there by Aaron Rodgers.
No.
He's way too smart to do that.
You alluded to it, too. Don't you think, like, when you see that the Seahawks are making moves, the Buccaneers are making moves,
Saints are making moves,
the Niners are making moves. Like, even if you don't want to, don't you have to fucking go out and get better?
No, because we build this team from the draft, okay? We don't need any outside sources coming in here. This is the Green Bay Packers we're talking about. We build from within. Ty?
I'll stay optimistic for the next 27 hours or so, but, oh, boy, if they don't do anything.
You're going to lose it, huh?
If they don't do anything.
Well, tomorrow, Tuesday, November 3rd, biggest day in America's history, NFL trade deadline.
I might not vote if they don't do
anything. Whoa, Ty. Oh, shitting me.
Oh, you wouldn't.
What right. the hell?
Did you see what Javon Williams did to a guy who said that?
Yeah, I did. But I don't think he was registered to vote, and I am, so.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know that if you're not gambling with FanDuel, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right, you know. It's it may sound a little harsh, but it's true.
Is that the best way to lead into an ad? If you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you. That's kind of what we just did. FanDuel is officially launched in Tennessee. Welcome to the family, Tennessee. Hey,
congrats.
Welcome to the family. There'll be more and more states on the way. And if you're in a state where FanDuel Sportsbook is available, get on the train, pal. Now, this past weekend, week 8, I've gone 2-2. This is my first potential losing weekend of the NFL season. Tonight, I'll be hammering the shit out of the Buccaneers, and I'll get myself to 3-2, hopefully. But FanDuel has the greatest odds out of any sports book. They have the best payouts out of anybody on sports book. They have the best lines out of anybody that has a sports book. And most importantly, they're the most convenient, the most fun, and the most giving sports book on planet Earth.
Definitely the most giving.
They refund money so much, it makes no sense at all.
I mean, no better feeling than getting kicked in the mouth and then going back and checking your account, and will and behold, you still got a couple dollars in there.
And you're like, why was that? And they're like, well, you got screwed. You didn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they did that this past weekend, but they've done that on a very regular occasion. I assume they'll continue to do it because they are the people's sports book.
That's right.
That's what FanDuel is. Right now, if you're in a state where FanDuel is available, please download the app, enjoy the hell out of the games, and make a little bit of money. Now, you should listen to At Hammer Don. Okay, it's a podcast about gambling with myself, Tone Diggs, Gumpy, and Lombardi. We are currently riding a heater that, once again, I did go 2-2 thus far in week 8. Our Super Boost did lose because the Packers couldn't beat the goddamn Dalvin Cook Vikings. But Super Boost will get back to being hot. We had 4 straight. We lost this one. Don't worry about it. We'll get back on the train this upcoming Friday. We need you to join the FanDuel family because it's absolutely gorgeous. Welcome, Tennessee. Welcome to you. Let's make some money throughout the rest of this season. Let's have a damn good time doing it with our friends at FanDuel. FanDuel's the greatest. We appreciate the hell out of them. We think you will too. Don't be scared to let your lady get involved as well. My wife loves gambling with FanDuel. Makes the games much more interesting for her, which makes our relationship much more awesome this particular fall.
I bet.
Amen. Let's get back to the show. Joining us now is a man who I'm sure has not been in the Ohio River. I think a lot of dead bodies in there, to be honest with you, but which is what that song was about, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now, Darius Butler.
Three Rivers. Got a little education there. Appreciate that.
Hey, that song was a banger, huh?
It was a vibe. It was a vibe. It was smooth.
Wes, you know what else is a vibe?
What's that?
Watching this Patriots team, dude.
Whoa!
They stink, dude. Like, listen, I'm a big Cam Newton guy. I went on an entire pitch and rant about Cam Newton when I saw him working out in those videos. I'm like, hey, this guy's all the way back. He's only 31 or whatever. Man. And then they got Bill Belichick. And they got a lot of players that opted out of the season because of COVID. You know, they didn't want to get smacked in the face by Corona. But then they started winning some games. We're back. And now COVID came through and just took the life out of that entire thing. Julian Edelman's getting surgery. Stephon Gilmore had some injury pop up. I mean, they're just – and they're still in games because Bill Belichick is such a good coach. Is that the only reason why – they're going to be in, it feels like – now, granted, they got blown out by the Niners. But it feels like they're going to be in a lot of games strictly because of coaching, or am I wrong for thinking that?
I mean, it sounds like you guys have come to the conclusion that the Patriots are dead.
Yeah,
no, not all.
Yeah. I'm not there yet.
Wow.
Yeah. 4 losses in, but I'm not there yet. And I'm not there because I think I don't trust the Bills. And I don't know. I still don't trust the Dolphins, even though I got my hat on two at a time. They looked damn good yesterday, but I don't trust them yet. I definitely trust Bill. And I still trust Cam, man. COVID came and got him. 20 years of dominating, and COVID come out of nowhere in 2020 and knock them out. But I still think they got a chance, man. They're not dead yet. And Belichick is going to keep them in games. And I think Cam, he's going to figure it out, man.
Sure feels like they're dead. I don't know.
It does.
But the Bills should have covered that game yesterday. They did not. That goes to overtime. I think the Bills cover, which is kind of a slap in the face by Cam Newton to all of his gamblers on the Bills, which isn't very nice. He should think about us for a little bit. Let's talk about some other teams around the NFL. Pittsburgh Steelers still undefeated, Darius Butler. I mean, that is the story of the weekend. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense is opportunistic. Lamar Jackson threw the ball into some spots that were incredible, and then on other spots it was like interception, which I think is what Lamar Jackson's going to have to be able to get rid of if they want to go forward. That Steelers team, though, that defense is like one of those old school, historic, this defense will win games for you in a modern world that revolves around offense, Darius.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so, but you look at a team like the Bears, you know, Zito squad. If you just watch that offense, you would think that was a 1 or 2 win team, but that defense has carried them through, and they went in 5-2 into last week, 5-3 now. But defensively, they still look good. The Steelers were amazing last year defensively. I felt like, especially with those quarterbacks, because you know it's a complimentary game. So the more your quarterback or your offense sucks, the more pressure it puts on your defense. And for him to be 8-8 last year, I thought that was Tomlin's probably best coaching job. But you bring that there back into this year with Big Ben back, You got other weapons stepping up. Last undefeated team. I mean, you gotta have them at the top of the AFC. I'm gonna put them over. Nah, I'm gonna put them two behind the Chiefs still. But they up there. They up there.
I saw you think about it. I saw you think about it. Nah. And the thing
because
about
Big Ben's not there yet, man. He's still not the same guy yet. I don't know if he'll ever be.
That's a great question, actually. He came out and said that he was calling plays in the huddle, basically, like kind of drawing up plays. I don't know what that means, but why are they even practicing, right? I mean, what do we even got Wednesday, Thursday, or Fast Friday for if we're not deciding what the fuck we're going to do until Sunday? I respect it. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger's changing football forever here.
Maybe. That's what Big Ben's been the most dominant over his career is extending plays, playing some backyard football. But he got some playmakers over there, and it's really going to be on him to just pick up his level of play and to take them kind of to that Super Bowl run if they go. But they still undefeated, playing good enough ball to win. That defense has been outstanding all year, locked in on Lamar. They kind of got Lamar's number. Even though the Ravens and Lamar beat him last year, it was still a close game with, I think, either Mason or Doug Hodges at quarterback. So, you know, the future's looking real good for them Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
If you have a defense like that, you're going to win games you're not supposed to win. So congrats to the Steelers. They'll probably go on a little bit of a run here. Will they be able to top the Chiefs, who lost a couple games early last year and then figured it out? Are they doing the same exact thing? They looked unstoppable this past weekend against the Jets. And they decided that they were going to win by so much that our touchdown celebrations are going to be so fucking outrageous. Tyreek Hill went into the crowd, ran up the steps, 15-yarder. Travis Kelce, who told us stories about his Madison Square Garden hoop dreams just a week ago whenever he was playing for Cincinnati, he dunks on the upright. That was, everybody knew that was no longer allowed or whatever. Patrick yep. Mahomes gives Tyreek Hill a piggyback running down the entire side of the field, laughing and screaming. It felt like they knew they were going to be dominant going into that game, and that's what happened last year. Whenever they started realizing what they were and figuring out how they're going to go, they just kept going and going. Didn't hear much from Lev Bell. I don't know how his game was. I don't think anybody cares. As long as they're winning, they just keep it moving. Let's go back to the defense conversation, though, that you had with the Chicago Bears, because that defense is very good. Okay, that defense is obviously very good at the football. On the offensive side of the ball, though, they're now entrenched in the conversation on whether or not Mitchell Trubisky deserves to be back in a quarterback or whatever.
Man.
What I do know is the Chicago Bears wide receiver room, hey, they just give no fucks at all. I have never seen anything. And I think you and I texted about this either last night or this morning or whatever. Wims, after he did it, after he obviously knew he was going to get ejected from the game and get a 15-yard penalty and all that, he was flexing. That's what I do. Like, that's what he was. And it was insanity what happened last night. I assumed it was probably because Wims learned that CJGJ wasn't registered to vote, but after seeing it this morning, I guess CJ...
Get off my damn phone!
Yeah, I guess he... What just happened there? You all right?
Man, no. Just that every time I look at my phone, it's something about damn voting or... Exercise.
Well, watch out, Wims will come after you.
I think everyone should. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to, then don't. I mean, do your thing though. Vote, exercise, right, get out there, vote through the polls. But yeah, man, that shit was wild. That had to be some personal beef. And Ben, I saw the play before, and I don't know if it was a play before when the other guy snatched his mouthpiece off before. But for him to go back to the huddle, come back, line up again, do his thing, run his little route, and then go back and handle that. Like, he had to calculate that shit. He had to go, all right, I'm playing tonight for free. I'm going to be sent to the locker room, and likely I'll probably lose my job. We all get that, hey, protect the shield message before the season. We all get, be a team player, don't be selfish. So that shit was wild, man. Had to be some personal shit behind that.
Be who you can afford to be is a big deal. I'm not sure Wims can afford to be anything like what he was last night. Any of his actions just pieced together by themselves, I'm not sure. The flexing on the team, probably not enough to do that. No. The ripping of the chain, probably not enough to do that. The first punch, probably not enough to do that. And then that second wild slap, probably not enough to do that. So there was like four different things I don't think Wims could do. But they said this morning, somebody went back and watched it. In the previous drive, I guess, CJGJ came and snatched Wims' mouthpiece off of his helmet and then threw it down. Then he goes on the sideline, and it was at like 5:20 when that happened, or 5:10. 11 minutes had gone by, okay, where he was on the sideline. He goes out there. Then he does it. Yeah, so he was sitting on that for 11 minutes just like, I can't believe this guy grabbed my fucking mouthpiece in the middle of a pandemic. And then he goes over there and does that whole thing. There's ways to get back at CJGJ there that don't revolve around being an absolute idiot, I would assume, right?
Yeah, I mean, shit. Cut block, lay block in the back, lay shove here and there. And we, you know, you, it happens during the game. You got chirping back and forth. It's a physical game, whatever. You know, shit happens. But to take it that level, like you said, I didn't know it was an 11-minute gap. I thought it was the next play because I'm like, so he went to the sideline, went to, like, that's – that. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. It's not worth it. If it's that deep, we saw Aaron Donald. You know, after the game, he took his pass off one game, put his helmet back on, and went and, you know, met somebody at the field. Hey, meet me at the bus. You know, if it's certain ways to handle disrespect than to do it like that and probably lose your job. I hope you don't lose your job, but we all seen people get fired for less, so we'll see.
It's just incredibly, and this is going to sound bad, but it's incredibly selfish. Like, everybody thought everybody thought he was making up for his teammate because of a point in the face earlier or whatever, and it was, he's sticking up for his teammates. It's like, no, he's fucking over his teammates, okay? That's what he's doing. He just got a 15-yard penalty. I think Foles either threw a pick or almost threw a pick the next play. And your offense has absolutely been terrible. Yeah, that's a selfish move. Like a lot of people think, like, for instance, when Pouncey attacked Myles Garrett, that game was over with already. That game was done. He was sticking up for a teammate. Like, there's ways to go about sticking up for your teammate that aren't considered selfish and kind of screwing over your entire team. I assume Wims has had some long conversations today with a lot of people. I assume there's
you got to find a happy medium between what the Dallas O-line and offense did and what Wims did. You got it's a wide gap in there that you got to find in there to say, all right, I'm gonna have my teammates back. But that was some bullshit.
There was like four different skirmishes on the field yesterday, by the way, around the league. There was like four or five different fights, and I was like, oh, what week are we in? Eight. Oh yeah, because the beginning of the season's too far away, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We're right in the middle of
in
the middle of the wall that hits. And yeah, you're going to see some testy players probably for the next couple weeks, let alone on top of all this COVID shit that's popping off. It is probably going to be a bit tense. Let's talk about tonight's game, Darius. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tommy Brady in the New York Giants with Danny Dimes. Monday Night Football. How do you see this one going? I will let you know. After the weekend, I am currently 2-2 on my bets this weekend. So tonight is the way to save me for being a winning betting weekend with you. I hammer. What are we hammering?
Oh, okay. Shit, no pressure.
Yeah, all a lot right. of pressure.
So we got Brady, Brady against the Giants. I mean, the Giants 1-6, been stinking it up. I don't think we'll have any surprises tonight. I think the Bucs go out there and do what everybody expects them to do. I do think I'm going to go Brady on the over. It's 260. I'm going to give him the over. I don't think he'll have to pass that much, but I think he will. Brady's a kind of one of those big picture guys. He sees what's going on around the league. He sees what's going on in New England. He sees what's going on in the NFC with some of the other top teams, the Packers, the Seahawks. It's kind of the blood is in the water. They obviously added AB. So the other receivers, they like, all right, I got to make sure anytime I touch this rock, I got to get off. Pause. But so knowing that, I think he gets over that 260 for sure.
Hey, you are speaking my language there whenever you're like, hey, Tom's looking around, okay? He saw what Drew did yesterday, okay, in Chicago, not great.
Yeah.
He saw what Russell Wilson did, though, yesterday, mm-hmm. probably four touchdowns. He's watching from afar what's going on up in New England. It's like, oh, they lost to Buffalo, huh? That's interesting.
Yikes.
I've never heard of that. So this is it, and it's prime time. I mean, this feels –
oh, yeah.
This does feel like a Tom Brady about to pop off. Gronkowski probably going to have another big night because that relationship is just growing back to what it used to be. This does feel like this is a slaughtering of the Giants tonight, doesn't it? It does feel like that right now.
It feels like that. I don't think we have any surprises. Joe Judge is somewhat familiar with Brady. Got Logan Ryan over here, too, the guy that picked off his last pass at Gillette Stadium. Ooh. So, I mean, you got some guys who are a little familiar, but I still think he comes out and handle business. Too many weapons, not enough defenders for the Giants that can hang with those guys. Like, and Gronk is kind of coming along. He's kind of getting into midseason form. So, it should be ugly.
All right. We appreciate you, boss man.
Appreciate you.
Hey, there's a couple of trades that could potentially happen. Any that have piqued your eye? Anything that you've thought like it would be cool if this team would make this move?
I want to see the Packers get a receiver, man. I don't know how they do it, but they got it. They got to get it done. Because, like I said, the NFC, I mean, after the Bucs, the Seahawks, I mean, the Packers should be right in there. But if you don't, they don't have enough on defense to stop the run as well. So if you can get a good linebacker like the Steelers just got, they just finessed a good linebacker out of the Jets. So on. But you got to get A-Rod another weapon. I feel like another legit certified weapon to really make a run. They talking about Gilmore moving. I don't see Gilmore being moved this season. So I don't know. I don't know.
I hope the Packers get a weapon, but a weapon doesn't stop them from giving up 226 yards to one guy.
Oh, no.
Hey, you're on the defensive side of the ball, okay? And this might not – this doesn't make sense to me. Everybody on earth knew Dalvin Cook was going to get that ball every single – 70% of the offense yesterday went through Dalvin Cook, and it felt like it was becoming a bit of a trend, okay? This Dalvin Cook guy is dominating. When you're on the defense, is there ever a conversation on the sideline – from player, maybe to coach, maybe if the coach isn't seeing the same thing in players, where you go like, hey, I know we probably didn't prepare for this, but it seems like one motherfucking guy is getting the ball every time. Can we adapt to that? Is that a conversation that happens on the sideline? And do you think that just didn't happen, or they just couldn't get the job done yesterday?
It should. This should happen mid-drive. I mean, but you go into a week and you have a certain game plan, and once you see you're being – either out executed or they came up with a better scheme, you got to switch it up. But stopping the run in the NFL, it comes down to just being gap discipline, being sound on defense. And sometimes you just don't have the personnel. I don't think the Vikings just have, you know, straight ass kickers up front that's just moving people around, but they looked like that yesterday. So maybe they don't just have the personnel on the side of the ball with the defense. But I mean, it's simple starting to run. Being your gap is one back. You got one guy responsible, and if somebody pulls, they move. But just do your damn job. When somebody runs, that's a mindset thing, man. I think the Vikings just came in with a mindset.
That's not good.
They bullied him.
Oh, no.
Bullied?
Packers are mentally weak, just getting bullied in Lambeau.
Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the Man to Man podcast, 9 years in the NFL in the secondary, Darius Butler. Thank you, D-Bo. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, I'd be up in the gym just working on my fitness. He's my witness. Ooh, woo! You remember that? Fergie.
I don't, but I honestly thought you just made that up right there.
That's Black Eyed Peas, dude. Fergie, they kicked her out. Last time I saw Fergie perform, they had another insert Caucasian woman doing the Fergie part. Yeah. I don't know if there's any beef with Will.i.am and Ferg, but it was definitely a replacement Ferg.
Certainly sounds like it. I didn't know that.
They had a run back then.
Oh, yeah. Where's the love?
Listen, whether you're doing any of that stuff, you want to know that what you're listening to is the best thing that you're listening to. And you don't want to be listening to anything going on outside. You want what you'll be listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommates are talking about, not what your significant other, not what your kids are doing, not any other existential bullshit happening outside. What you want is you want a nice noise isolating fit whenever you're listening to whatever you're listening.
Absolutely.
And there's no earbuds, wireless earbuds, better for the trick and better for the job than our friends from Raycon. Before you drop hundreds of dollars on a pair, why don't you invest in a little bit of Raycon information, okay? Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market. Check.
Wow.
Is it efficient and cost effective? It is. Their newest model yet, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime. Check. Seamless Bluetooth pairing. Check. More boom booms. Check. And a more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. Check, 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 check. They check all the goddamn boxes.
Look at that.
Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable. They're perfect for conference calls, binging podcasts, listening to music, working out, whatever you need to do. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon's earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no stupid dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during anything you got going on.
Good. I'm sick of the damn stems.
They're stupid, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sick of them.
The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dio Double G, Melissa. By the way, Snoop Dogg talking into that shell phone on the beach with that other guy.
Bad Bunny.
Top five worst commercial I've ever seen in my entire life.
Without question.
It's hard to take you serious talking into that fucking shell, Snoop. Okay, I love Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg has good taste, obviously. He loves Raycons. That particular commercial is tough to handle, though.
Yeah, that was a miss.
It was a miss.
What are you going to do?
Snoop Dogg doesn't miss ever, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
But that Shell commercial is a bad one.
That's a miss.
What he hit a home run with, though? Raycon's wireless earbuds. Mike Tyson also likes them. And Rich the Kid. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Melissa Etheridge as well, for those that are up on all the Melissa Etheridge stuff. They're obsessed with Raycons. And right now, it's your time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com. That's BUYRAYCON.com/ Pat, P-A-T. Buy Raycon.com/Pat. 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. Buy Raycon.com/Pat. They come with different size ear holes, too, so it fits your ear perfectly. That's what they're talking about when they talk about a nice noise isolating fit. My ears are weird shaped, so the different size little plugs that you can put on the top in a different styles, it makes for a magical listening experience from our friends at Raycon. Buy Raycon.com/Pat. Get with it. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Don't talk into shells, okay? Use Raycons. Back to the show. Joining us now, a legend from the Ohio State University, Green Bay Packers Super Bowl champion, AJ Hawk. AJ, I have a question for you. Whenever you watch one player go for 226 yards on the team that you used to play for, the team that you're still a fan of with a lot of friends, do you ever think about strapping on those oversized shoulder pads, putting on that CTE-like helmet, and going back out there and trying to stop the run for the Green Bay Packers? That was a heartbreaker yesterday. Everybody on earth knew Dalvin was going to get the rock, just couldn't do a damn thing about it over there in Lambeau.
Yeah, I guess it was a showcase of what Dalvin Cook could do, but I know you guys are worried, and you want the Packers to go trade for all these players. Christian Kirksey, is he going to be back? Well, I don't know if he's going to be back this Thursday, but he's on his way back. So he's a guy that they added in the middle. I think will be a big help once he gets back in.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be. I mean, he's hurt all the time, though. Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
That's
played the first game of the year. He's been on IR since.
Hey, what's the best ability, AJ?
Durability.
Or availability, and the motherfucker hadn't had either of them. Yeah. So, the thing about him is he was probably a great player. They did bring him in or whatever. But everybody's expecting the Packers to make some sort of move. Now, after the season last year, I hammered home this stat about the 186 yards before contact, because watching that Packers team lose that game to the Niners, as somebody who doesn't really have that high of a football IQ, okay? It's not like I'm out here fucking just breaking down plays saying, oh, this guy needs to scrape over this guy. And I don't do that. I just watch that game and I go, okay, you're in the NFC Championship game. How do you get one game further? Well, it seems like what you need to do is figure out how to stop the run. Will this team ever be able to do that is the question. And will they just run into the same problem at some point when a big game comes along and the team has a good run game? Like, that's a real problem, I'd assume, at this point.
Well, and I know it is, like, just from such a fan's perspective, and you talk about, like, maybe leveraging their future success, but, like they are so close. They're very close. Rodgers' window is closing. Like, you don't know how good you're going to be after he's gone, so why not attack it right now and try to go win this thing? They are one of the best teams in the NFC, but they have to get better.
AJ, everybody in the NFC that's at the top of that chart has been making plays. The Saints this morning traded for Quan Alexander. They give up Kiko Alonso. Then you look what happened with the Seattle Seahawks with Carlos Dunlap bringing in. They were trying to get Antonio Brown, and allegedly, breaking news as of today from Adam Schefter, the Green Bay Packers were also in a conversation for Antonio Brown. Antonio obviously ends up going down to Tampa. But speaking of that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are adding players to make their team and their roster better at the halfway point here. It's very interesting to see what the Green Bay Packers do, if anything, before tomorrow, because not only is that a big storyline for this show, because Aaron Rodgers Tuesday has been absolutely awesome and cool, but also for the NFC in general. It's like, if they choose not to get better, are they getting worse?
Well, they're a confusing team to watch, aren't they? I mean, obviously Aaron played well enough to win. Like, the offense, I think, did enough to win. But with their defense, it's just inconsistent, I think. Sometimes they look great, and sometimes they're getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They're stopping the run. They look all right. And then they have games like this. So I think that's what scares everybody, because we remember what happened in the NFC Championship last year.
And so I've been told by a lot of people that know the football better than me that, like, the run stopping is a lot of, like, will. Now, granted, you got to be disciplined. There has to be a lot of gap discipline. But it's a mindset, right? And you just said it's inconsistent. What is that? Like, is that the locker room? Is that the coach? Is that just the scheme? Is that the who they're playing? Like, how do you continue to have the will to want to stop the run and not have that happen? Because everybody on earth knew Dalvin Cook was getting the rock yesterday. And he just continued. 70% of their offense was through that one guy. It's like, everybody knows it. Is it will? What is it? Is it scheme?
It's usually a combination of all of those things, of not having, like, the right players in the right place, and then the scheme. Is it too confusing? That's always the question. Are we asking too much of these guys? That's something that the coordinator will usually evaluate every single day of the week. Like, okay, is the package too small? Do we need to pare down the game plan? What are we doing here? I'm sure Pettin's been losing sleep trying to figure it out. I don't know exactly what's wrong. Nobody does. I mean, if they did, they would find a way to fix it.
What then? What? They drafted Jordan Love. They traded up to draft Jordan Love. I don't think they were.
That's not the coach's fault. The coaches had nothing to do with any of that.
Okay. But you just said nobody's trying to fix it. It's like, do any of us.
Oh, no, no. I just mean fixed your run defense.
The
runs.
Okay. Not like the whole problem. All right. Got it. Yeah. Right, well, that's on me for misunderstanding. Here we are on Overreaction Monday, and that's an overreaction, I think, by all of us here for the Green Bay Packers, because the same thing that knocked them out of the running for the Super Bowl last year showed up yesterday, and it's Overreaction Monday, so we kind of have to. And
gotta
it's trade deadline tomorrow, so it's kind of been built up. But the Packers aren't the only team that pissed off their fans. I put something out on Twitter earlier today. I said, hey, Overreaction Monday, but I kind of want to get a voice of the people on Twitter for their overreactions. There's a lot of fans saying a lot of people are dead. There's a lot of teams thinking their team's going to win the Super Bowl. Overreaction Monday is my favorite thing. AJ, I want to go through a couple of these ones from Twitter with you to see if you agree with them or not. The first one comes from our guy in Pittsburgh, I do believe. Foxy, do you have these? It's Ox Daddy. He's Mike.
Yeah.
He's an old friend of ours. He's from Pittsburgh. He goes, the Steelers are nasty and the Brownies still blow. Joe Burrow is good, but Lamar can't throw. I would ring in my poem, but you have many callers. I'm just a recovering addict like your boy, D. Waller. Bars,
wow.
By the way. There's a little bit of an overreaction, possibly. I believe AJ's getting a phone call in the middle of this whole thing. But the Pittsburgh Steelers fans are very, very confident in their squad 7-0. And I think that is the voice of an entire fan base, except for the guy that's in our office, by the way. Mm-hmm. Diggs thinks the team stinks.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
He
said it earlier. I said, man, that Steelers team looks unbelievable. Diggs goes, do they? Question mark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you, by the way, a lot of the reaction from Pat, I won't overreact, but was like Steelers are going undefeated. Everybody's talking about that. Diggs, you're very optimistic, or not, you're a little like pessimistic about the entire thing. Is that just like you trying to jinx yourself? Like jinx?
Well, yeah, I'm a big jinx myself guy, but things are going too well. Something bad eventually is going to happen. And I assume I would prefer if they lost the game here sometime soon. That'd be nice just to, you know, get that off the back and let's just carry on with our lives.
Nobody expects to go undefeated.
No.
I mean, it's damn near impossible. But Chase Claypool is saying lose him. Never heard of her, dude.
Yeah.
The locker room. And then Ebron, I think, even quote tweeted and was like, yeah, basically like, yeah, that's what we do. He's dancing on everybody's grave. It's like, let's go. I'm all in on the Steelers going undefeated, both against the spread and outright if they want. They've been a money train if you've been gambling on them. Yeah. They got points the last 2 weeks. It makes no sense. I would assume it's going to be different this week. I don't know who they play. The Cowboys.
Cowboys. Oh, yeah.
They're going to be giving up a lot.
Yeah.
Just keep riding with them, though. That team is very, very good. And if Roth feels like a good game for Roethlisberger, maybe to get back in it. All right, I'm playing a defense that, you know, doesn't try all the time. They kind of fucking stink. Just got rid of everybody. Boom, boom, boom. This is the weekend to maybe hammer the Steelers even more so.
Yeah,
there's
one person I'm not worried about.
But Diggs says, no. Stay away, Diggs.
No, I just...
That's what you said.
Things are going too good in my life for football, so if something bad's going to happen. That's all. I'm just...
No, Diggs, this is the new you, dude.
Don't curse
things
your team.
Things go good. Yeah. Yeah. This is the way it is.
The ego on you to think that your life has any impact on professional football.
I've worn the same shirt every single game, and that might be it.
And by the way, Steelers undefeated this decade.
It's a Shalev shirt.
When you wear...
The Ryan Shazier Shalev
shirt.
Wow.
Yeah. Steelers know. Because they wake up in the morning, and the first question that Tomlin asks, Mike Tomlin, head coach, he goes, what shirt's that fucking Italian kid wearing? And they say, he's wearing Ryan Shazier Shalev. He's like, that's why. Oh, okay, we're going
to
play today.
Time to go.
We're going to play today. Hey, Jordan Berry, you're going to punt the ball far today, okay? Boswell, you're going to make a lot of kicks today, okay? At defense, you're going to pick off Lamar Jackson 45 times because there's an Italian kid in Indiana wearing a Shalev shirt. That's exactly what happens. Don't you ever take that shirt off.
Listen, who says it's not?
Hey,
who said it doesn't affect it?
Takes all of us.
Takes all of us.
Welcome back, AJ. You got a phone call there, maybe with some inside breaking information? No?
No, just a weird, I don't know what's going on with FaceTime.
It's probably somebody calling you or texting you, telling you to vote.
Yeah. Oh, could be. Make sure you do.
I got a question for you, though. If someone asks me to vote and I say, okay, who are you voting for, ma'am or sir? And they tell me, I say, all right, I will vote for the opposite then. I'm voting for the opposition. You think they still want me to vote?
Only one way to find out.
Like, are you still like on your high horse wanting me to vote? If I say, yeah, I'm going to vote, but I'm going to vote for... whoever you do vote, like I will vote the opposite of you.
You would piss off. There would be might be a war. Like you might yeah. actually
but you don't want me to vote then.
No. Listen,
need to.
You need to vote, okay? But there might be that might be like a Pac-Man in the airport type situation where he's holding his Popeyes and the person goes. That might be on site if you were to do that. It feels like that is a chance. Now I don't know enough about the political community, okay, or the atmosphere or the environment, but whenever videos from that particular thing make its way into my internet, you see, when it makes its way into my internet and I watch those things, it feels like tensions are rather high. Yeah. And I think if you said that, I think if you said what you just said right there, there might be a slap directly to that jaw of yours. It might feel good, by the way, to get back into the CTE thing that you've been missing.
This is my issue. This is my issue, though. Like everyone that's telling me to vote, they obviously have a candidate that they feel very, very strongly about, and they most likely hate the other candidate, right?
Yes. Yeah, I do believe that.
Nail on the head.
I do believe that is how it goes.
So do you want me to – should I vote or should I not vote? What is it?
Well, see, I think
you should vote. I want you to vote if you vote for my person.
Well, I think they're just assuming that you feel the same way they do. That's why they're saying it to you. Like, I think that is kind of like the, like, hey, I feel like you and I are so, and then if, oh, by the way, the bomb, if you go, oh, is that right? Well, I'm actually going this way. The war, you might lose a friendship forever, by the way. And this is only from the shit that makes it into my internet. And it might be fake news or whatever. There are families being ripped at the seams because of what's going on right now. Like, it is getting insane in the world. And that's why it pays to be stupid, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's why it does.
It's very nice to have my lane and just stick with it. But boy, there's some real shit popping out there. And all we want to make sure is that you've already
registered to vote.
And tomorrow, you make sure you see what Big Zito's poll is, and you vote on that thing.
You're going to vote on that.
We're going to vote. Zito, how is your poll doing?
It's been pretty well.
How many voters? Was there any early voters?
There was. We've been open up for 3 hours now. Over 24,000 votes.
Every vote counts, by the way.
That's right.
Every vote counts whenever you're talking about 24,000 votes. Go ahead. Is there any swings potentially to happen here?
So the poll was, who's the best team in the NFL right now? Bills are last place, 2.5%. I wonder why. Seahawks, 11.1. But the most important candidates here today, Steelers, Chiefs. Steelers, 43.5. Chiefs, 42.9.
Whoa. Shout out to the Seahawks who are representing the libertarians and the Bills that are kind of the green party in this particular case. Steelers, Chiefs, both from the same conference battling it out for who the best team is. Steelers 43.5, Chiefs 42.9%. We didn't have the Buccaneers in there because Zito made the call by himself that teams had to have at least 6 wins, and we assume Tampa will tonight. Do you think you can keep the Bills in, we'll just say, do you think 4 of the top 5 teams are in this list if the Buccaneers are here? AJ Hawk?
What do you mean? Are you telling me if you add the Buccaneers, who do I take out of this list?
Yes. Well, and also, do you think that is an accurate representation of the top of the NFL right now, 8 weeks into this thing?
I mean, maybe. I just think right now we don't know. That's the thing. Week to week, I don't know the identity of most of these teams. The Steelers, they look like the old school Steelers. Like, this is what we do. We play solid defense. We roll. Ben plays solid. He's a big dude. He's going to be durable all year. That's the Steelers. Other than that, though, do we know who anybody is?
Can't.
Chiefs.
Can't confirm. Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs, we know who the Chiefs are. I think, to be honest, I think the Buccaneers, we know what they are. I think we know what the Buccaneers are.
But the Buccaneers are weird because the Buccaneers, I feel like, are only going to get better and better. Like, each week, they're going to continue to get better and better and better. And I don't know if you can say that about everybody else.
Well, that's what we know about them, though. Like, what we know about the Buccaneers, well, their identity is that they're a good team, and they're only going to get better. Like, that's what we know about them. Mm-hmm. The Steelers, old school look. If Ben Roethlisberger can get back to form, even though he's slinging, calling plays in the dirt during the thing, they're going to get better. I think there are teams that we know at this point. Like, teams we don't know, by the way, that might make an outside run at this thing. What if the Arizona Cardinals fucking go? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Especially with what happened with the Rams here down in Miami yesterday. What if the Arizona Cardinals go?
How did Miami win that game?
Turnovers. 4 turnovers in the first half. Big, big turnover battle. But Tua Tagovailoa, I think, had a massive part of that entire thing. Gumpy, our resident Dolphins fan, pumped about the future with Tua. Ain't that right, Gump?
Threw an absolute seed for a 6-yard tutter, AJ.
Yeah, did you see that thing?
In traffic.
Yeah, I got cut a 6-yard tutter. He actually was. And by the way, he was pumped. I like his emotion.
Yeah.
But Chan Gailey just decided not to let him do anything, which was wild move. But hey, Got the W, so nobody cares.
The team rallied around him, AJ. That's what you want out of your quarterback.
Absolutely. Team rallied around a guy that was a rookie, big hotshot name coming in here, and he's replacing that probably the most beloved quarterback in the NFL right now.
Oh, wow.
By far.
Wow. Yeah, maybe, though. We don't know, because the way that team showed out for Tua, maybe True. They're like, hey, we love Fitz, but we also love this guy. He plays a ukulele.
He can sing.
He sing. Yeah, there's a lot to love about this guy. And we'll just have him, you know, only have like 93 yards passing. Mm-hmm. We'll do the rest. Have one touchdown. Don't worry about it. We'll just win games because the Patriots are dead. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots are dead. The I guess four teams since 2010 have made the playoffs after starting 2-5.
Bingo.
Which is a statistical stat that you get it.
4.8% chance.
You would sit on 4.8% chance, by the way, is a very high percentage if we start talking percentages in the world today.
Massive. That's a big enough percentage, really, if you think about it, to shut down the entire world.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. So,
come on.
There's just no reason for that. But if you're in the AFC East, you really got a shot, because the Buffalo Bills did, I mean, they won that game, which is awesome, but they didn't just bury the Patriots. It feels like Bill Belichick is going to be able to keep them in games, but the Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins, if you're looking at it, who's the future of the AFC East or number one overall pick? I mean, there's a lot to talk about in the AFC East, and Tua had a pretty good debut, I guess.
How do you feel about Josh Allen? Are you still pretty high on him?
You know, I do like Josh Allen. I like him a lot. Yeah, he ran one in, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Which I said to, you know, Guy could get loose out there. He can run.
Mm-hmm.
Will Josh Allen win him a Super Bowl? I think he can. Hey, I think he can. I like Josh Allen. I've just come around completely. I don't think he's in the MVP conversation. I don't think he ever was this season. But I think at some point he will be. Now, Bills Mafia was killing me early for not having him in the conversation alongside Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and the boys. Aaron obviously played a great game. Just couldn't cut a break because the other guy had 226 yards. Russell Wilson played unbelievable, and we'll talk about him immediately after this conversation. I just think since Josh Allen got so much better than he was last year, and last year he got so much better than he was his rookie year, that the development got Bills Mafia very, very excited, and I think he'll continue to do that. So I think in a couple of years he'll be that guy, maybe next year, or maybe by the end of this year, I'm not 100% sure. But there was a couple moments yesterday where I was like, come on. And there's been a couple games here in the last couple of weeks where you're like, come on, Josh, like fucking take over the game right now. Like, this is a time where you can throw the ball further than every human ever walked this earth. Troy Aikman said whenever he heard the ball come out of his hand, it was like something he's never heard before. So I'm like, just be the guy. He should be a guy. And I think he's on his way.
Yeah, I think he's on his way. I feel like almost as fans, we're so used to seeing this just absolute spectacular quarterback play recently that we almost expect too much out of these guys.
I think
they make it look easy when it's the toughest position in all of pro sports is to be a quarterback, especially to play at an elite level, like on a consistent basis. That's the hardest thing to do. And we just feel like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, he's good. He's got 11 monsters coming after him trying to kill him. There's nobody open. But, yeah, come on, man. You got to make that throw.
It is because it looks so easy. Because the throws always look magical by people. But if you talk to what Travis Kelce said last week, he's like, Pat Mahomes makes better decisions than anybody else right now. He's made the decisions that have to be made and the things that have to be calculated that go into that. By the way, which is what I'm alluding to. Like, I wish Josh Allen would be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, because there are players that do it, and there's some guys that maybe are a little bit slower in their either reads or decision making, or choose to make the wrong decision. Like, just hold the ball while guy is about to sack you, and just like start directing traffic and just take a fumble right there, and still somehow win by 14 points, and it doesn't matter because the other team is led by a guy that's throwing a submarine ball to a player that's out of bounds. I mean, there's differentiators between the quarterbacks, you know? I just want Josh Allen to be that guy because I think he could be, but I think it's all in between the years, you see. I do believe that's potential.
For Bills fans, though, I think what Bills fans have to feel pretty good that they don't need Josh Allen to win the MVP for them to make a run at the Super Bowl. Like, we know the Seahawks, like Russell Wilson has to play out of his mind, at least right now, before they shore everything up defensively. For them to probably make a run at it. But for the Bills, I feel like they're a balanced team. Their defense can play, and Josh Allen just stays steady, man.
Russell Wilson was awesome to watch. I mean, there was one play yesterday where he rolled out to the right, was looking around, and then he crow-hopped one back across the body, I think the DK. Mm-hmm. And it was only like a 12-yard gain or something like that. But he might have thrown that thing like 65 yards from where he was standing to it, and it was just on a rope. He is unbelievable at football. Now, this is just 1 week removed from throwing three interceptions, by the way. And there was a lot of people asking, like, Russell Wilson, has he completely lost it? Like, has he forgotten how to throw the ball to his team? You know, like, there was a lot of people saying that type of stuff. And here we are 1 week later, just four touchdowns, unbelievable. And when Nick Mullins came in and made it a little bit closer, he stepped on the throat and scored a touchdown walking right down the field. He's so good at football, it's unbelievable. The only thing in his life that he's better at is Halloween costumes. Yeah. And he's maybe number one in a 1A in both of those categories, AJ.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you mentioned he kind of crow-hopped and threw that ball to Metcalf. I mean, Ty Schmidt lets us know all the time. Isn't he basically a starting shortstop for the Yankees?
Could be.
Yeah, that's right. Starting second base.
Well, he could do second.
Yeah, he's got a great arm. Yeah, he's got a great arm. I don't know if he can hit a fucking curveball, but he's got a great arm.
That was like such a 90-year-old. Didn't that sound like a 90-year-old over there? Can the son of a bitch hit a curveball? That's what I thought. Joining us now, not only AJ Hawk, but also the host of Holy Moly.
Ooh.
What? ABC smash hit, by the way. I think he just got renewed for another season.
Yes.
You know him from ESPN College Football and boxing. He once stood in between Deontay Wilder and the Gypsy King. And was asked to keep them separated 2 days before they were going to war. Maybe my favorite moment from this guy of all time, Italian legend, Joe Tessitore.
Yeah! What's up, Pat? What's up, AJ?
Hey.
Tess, what's happening?
Tess, it is great.
You got that blowtorch out to get that cigar going?
I might. I'll see if I can scrounge it up around here. We'll see.
Let me tell you something, Pat,
and of course, you give the best introduction, right?
No,
you're straight up. Like, your introduction is the reason why we pay David Koonin 80% industry standard. But that was by far, like, you know those moments we all have. Now, AJ didn't have to worry about stuff like this, but others did. Those moments you have where you're like, am I really doing this right now? Like, am I stupid enough to be putting myself in this position? But that moment when Wilder and Fury were going at it, and I stepped between them, and then there's that split second when you look around, you're like, oh, so the 400-pound security guards, they left? Like, what the? Like, what was I thinking, man?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. The whole press conference was incredibly awkward, but you handled yourself swimmingly throughout that entire thing. And we didn't know if that was potentially a work. Like, hey, do they know that?
It was not.
And I think you got pushed a little bit. We're like, Tessitore's about to get it in there. We were watching.
It was not a work, but let me tell you something. I could have used the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne on that
day. By the way, the Bruiserweight is the perfect final piece to the puzzle that I'm putting together to take over on Undisputed Era and NXT. Wednesday night, USA Network, 8 p.m. Thank you for that, Tess. Let's talk about your weekend this weekend. One of the most awesome moments I think I've ever seen, like wholesome, genuine moments. You're on the call when Boston College traveled down to play Clemson. Your son is the holder for Boston College, John Tessitore. Incredible holder, by the way. Then there's this moment that pops up, and we have the video clip of it. Let's run this right now.
So Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center. And he got him to call offsides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on 4th and 2?
Okay, what a moment. You obviously, do you know that there's a chance they're running that?
No, not at all.
So that was just genuine.
The only thing I know is obviously I just know John. And, you know, as you know, because John is one of your acolytes, he's sick in the head. Like, he's all the way for the brand.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Amen.
He's a mini you just with a little more, you know, Italian chili flakes running through his
head. Yeah.
And, you know, I know Coach Halfley trusts him as a jack of all trade. He's a kid who played quarterback, receiver, safety, kickoff specialist, punter, place kicker, holder, and he's very comfortable. I mean, this is a kid who, you know, when I was watching his high school career, would constantly, if he had numbers, he'd be muddle, he'd be pod look, he'd be faking. I mean, he scored, I think, in New England championship game his senior year, he pulled off two fakes, a speed option, a quarterback dive, multiple fake punts. It's just who he is.
Let's go! Wow.
Yeah, it's who he is. So I know that he's got that in him, and I know that Coach Halfley and Coach Turin, the special teams coordinator, I know what they dial up in practice. I know he's pulled it off against the first team defense, various fakes. I should have known when it was under 5 yards, though.
Yeah.
Pat.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have known. And then he's come out in that muddle shotgun look on extra points numerous times this year. And I see him counting numbers and looking over at the offensive line. I see him looking at the flanker. But to do it against the number one team on the road at Clemson in a spot like that, where now you're going to potentially put your team up by 18, which our graphics people were on it, man. Largest deficit that the number one team in the country has ever had at home since 1950.
Whoa, long time. 70 years.
Onions,
wow,
man.
Quick math.
Onions.
Yeah.
Your onions.
Whenever you're saying that, there has to be a very – now, you're a consummate professional, by the way. You literally are. Every time we've ever – you're a consummate professional. But is it a little bit difficult to separate, like, okay, I helped create that kid, shape that kid, I shagged balls for that kid, I did everything, and then also trying to keep the professionalism out of it? Because I would lose – if that was my kid, I don't know if I'd be able – Now, granted, I don't have a kid. I only got a dog. But if my dog Valerie was in one of them dog things, I don't know if I'd be able to keep it together. You know what I mean?
Listen, I have no idea how the Greasies did it back in the day with the Rose Bowl, because I've had it 2 times now on ABC. And both times, you know, thank God you're so hyper attentive when you're in the moment of making a call. Because when you get to commercial break, you get to halftime, wow, it hits you. Or like after the game when you're grabbing Mexican firewater, wow, it hits you. But it was awesome. I just, you know, I committed to, hey, I'm calling him Tessitore, and I'm calling this just with the same enthusiasm and the same way of the shock value if it was anybody else who pulled that off on 4th and 2 against the number one team in the country. And we stayed in that lane. I told him on Monday, both the week he was playing Mack Brown, North Carolina, and this week playing Dabo and Clemson, I said, listen, man, when Monday morning comes around, I'm the ABC broadcaster, you're number 98, and we don't become father and son until after the game.
Stern but fair.
It was, man. It's like, you think he was telling me, hey, by the way, here's what we got on, here's where the green light, none of that. I mean, he was just another player. In fact, running into halftime, AJ, you'll love this. Running into halftime, he sees Holly Rowe, the sideline reporter. Holly puts up her camera like this. He sticks his face in there, and he says, tell my dad I'm sorry I couldn't give him the heads up.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Is it weird calling your son by his full name and John Tessitore? Like that,
yes.
That right there made me feel, I'm like, I don't know. I think that'd be a tough situation to be in. And also, are you worried that you don't want to like oversell it too much on what just happened?
Yeah, like I'm the other way. So I'm the guy that, like, I was so conscious, you know, of what am I wearing? Like, you know, I don't want to even have a hint of maroon. I don't want any of this,
yeah. You
know, gold, maroon, nothing. Like I'm in blue for that game. Man, I should have wore orange regalia and purple for that game. So I'm hyper aware of that, AJ. But, you know, I came away with it feeling good. The kid pulled off the play. I called him Tessitore. We documented it well. I think we were right on top of it. I love Patton. You know, I loved when he saw the safety sneak up when he ran up there, that he didn't hesitate. He gave the hard count. He sold it hard. But, Pat, they got a group now. This specialist room up there in Chestnut Hill,
yeah,
they're wackos now.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
Grant Carlson, have your boys go on Twitter to Grant Carlson, the BC punter. My man wears a Waffle House arm sleeve.
Yeah, yeah.
Full-on Waffle House arm sleeve.
Smart.
The starting kicker, Aaron Boumerie's got the handlebar mustache working.
Let's go,
and then
kid.
You've got psycho like WWE that. NXT holder who's calling fakes on 4th and 2. Like, I mean, he's pure Ric Flair.
That's awesome.
Going right through his blood. They're wackos.
That's incredible. I like that group. They're obviously helping the Boston College team turn around, by the way. They look a lot better than they have in recent memory. Feel like that's a great head coaching hire. And your kid, I'm happy he's going to have great success there. He sounds like an awesome guy. I'm a big fan. I got to meet him. Can I talk to you a little bit about your life here a little bit? So, holy moly. Oh, holy moly. Yes. Should not be as entertaining as it is. And the reason why it is as entertaining as it is because of you and Riggle or whatever. It is incredibly entertaining to watch that. I mean, it's a great show.
Dude, it is. Here's the deal with it. We didn't know what we were stepping into, but we soon realized that the absurdity was beloved.
Yeah.
That just put us on the set, put the cameras on, roll all night, let us just have as much fun as we can. And we've been so blessed with the reception on ABC. You know, we're going into year 3.
Okay.
We got a lot of plans. We laugh our asses off. I mean, it is a total best in show meets Borat you know, romance on that set. And mini golf just becomes a vehicle for the two of us to just riff, to just have a blast. Hey, here's what I would love. When we get out of this thing, when COVID's in the rearview mirror and we're filming Holy Moly again late winter next spring, I want the McAfee show on the road, at the set, location for Holy Moly.
Yeah.
We get AJ up there on like Polcano or Uranus.
Trying put to his ass across. On Uranus for sure.
Okay, I'm going to pause on AJ on Uranus, but Polcano at least.
Okay.
You guys would have a blast out there now. And the tailgating's sick. I mean, Zac Efron's showing up, Josh Duhamel's showing up. Guys are having a good time, getting in a good place before they go out and watch some extreme.
Efron's there?
Hold on. Zac Efron's hanging out
there? Body tip.
Zac Efron?
Yeah, we have a good time out there.
Wow. That sounds like Zac Efron.
I don't know what Efron is doing there. Good for you, Tess. Is there anything that you haven't gotten to call that you want to? We know you can do everything, any sport, any like the show. Like what's out there that you still haven't gotten to?
You know, AJ, I've reached a stage in my career where I'm very contented and I have some golden rules that I like to follow. I'm all about who am I working with, what am I working on, and is there an ambulance close by? Bro, smart. I love danger. Smart. I love combat sports. I love world title fights. I love people flying off of the course on Holy Moly, and I like it all on the line at major college football or the NFL. That's what I'm about. If there's an ambulance nearby, there's a lot of pressure, and it matters greatly with what you're doing, then I want to passionately broadcast it. I want to broadcast to the people who have that same standard and alignment. That's where I'm at in life. I can't do anything else. It's just where I'm at. I'm intense. I'm passionate. I want my sports and my people to be the same way.
How much do you miss that college atmosphere this year? Because obviously you're away from it there for a couple of years with Monday Night Football. You come back into college football and the test effect is a real thing. And then now we have college stadiums that are at capacity. But is it still a feeling of the rush that you used to get, or are you still missing and can't wait for that day to come back?
Listen, when you're sitting on top of a 100,000 person stadium in the SEC and the band is rocking, I mean, you can feel it. You feel it under your legs. It's shaking. But still, bro, when that red light comes on and you're about to kick off in college football, and by the way, do you know what my assignment is this week? Are you aware that I am broadcasting the West Virginia Mountaineers down there Texas? You aware that is happening, that the legacy will be discussed, that number 40 will be living proudly as we are down there in the Lone Star State? It is ABC at noon. And your West Virginia Mountaineers are coming off of a big win, my friend.
Yeah, you're damn right. Neil Brown's got them boys humming. Texas stinks, too. Let's go, Joe.
Get that thing going. Yeah!
Thank you, Joe Tessitore, joining us right now. College football and boxing. Whenever we went to – didn't we go to – no, we went to – who did we go? What fight did we go to? Lomachenko or something.
Triple G and, yeah, it might have been
– Loma. Whenever you go to those
– You know, you got to come out to the fights in Vegas. The other thing is, and I hope everybody's getting hot, cashing in, hashtag get hot, make cash. Everybody had a good weekend, I hope.
Yeah.
But you got to get me on sometime. I'll text you. You got to get down on some of these over-unders on total rounds when we've got championship fights. That's what you need to do. You got to start betting boxing.
Who is
not
that
just
dude?
The money lines, but total rounds.
Hey, there was a dude. I don't know if you called it or not, and I don't know what promotion it was. So you might not even be able to talk about it, but there's a knockout the other night. This dude hit a left uppercut.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Tank Davis is very powerful. He was at 130 pounds. He's going to fight at 135 pounds. That left uppercut was thrown with such speed and violence against Leo Santa Cruz, it's great. And then the other one you want to watch, and I would have given you this, we would have had under rounds plus the prop bet of the TKO, is Inoue, the Japanese superstar, the bantamweight, the 118-pounder. Go on the ESPN Twitter feed, go on ESPN Plus, watch his knockout the other night of Jason Maloney from Australia. You had two of the best knockouts the other night.
We've
had sensational knockouts. That Lopez Lomachenko fight, you know what you would have grabbed, by the way, on Teofimo Lopez? That was plus 350 that night. World champion to pull that upset. Wow. I'm telling you, boxing is one of the great value plays in all of sports.
Okay.
These NFL lines are so razor sharp. You need to get down with the over-unders in boxing.
I know you're Italian, so I love, and you call boxing, which is kind of like, involves that world. The fact that we need to start gambling on boxing and we have a potential insider. I mean, I am. Yeah. I want to let you know, Tess. Hey, Tess, your words, my hammer, pal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will start swinging
them. Get that damn blowtorch out there, AJ.
I will. Sue, Tess, hey, last thing for me. I wanted to pivot quick, going to back to your Monday night gig. Pat and I have worked a game in a three-man booth. So we did Texas Tech Baylor a couple years back. Yeah. You have three-man booth, but you have Booger down on the field in the Booger Mobile early on. How tough is that? Like the logistics of thinking, hey, when can I talk? When can we jump in? And, how did you guys work through it?
When you're doing it on the stage of Monday Night Football, but I couldn't have enjoyed my time with Booger and Jason Witten more. They're both great human beings, great people, work passionately hard. They're great friends in my life. They're like family to us. So listen, as I said to you, it's about who I work with, and I love the people I work with. Right now, I'm with Greg McElroy, and we're having a lot of fun, and Holly Rowe. But yeah, it's challenging those three-man booths, and you know, now I'm back in a two-man booth doing ABC college football, so that's a lot of fun. Oh, speaking of which, there, Pat.
Yeah, yeah.
My son needs some advice because the teammates, the crazy Boston College locker room, they are pushing like nuts for this Peter Mortel Holder of the Year award.
Okay, yeah.
And John wants to know, Should he be cutting promos WWE style? Should he be running around the city of Boston holding random things? Like, what's the push here? Because these guys in that room, they want that HOTY.
I think we're well on our way, right? I mean, with drawing the number one team offsides to pick up a big first down for your team, that is a pretty heroic move that the holder can have. I haven't seen his holds. I assume he's very good because he's incredibly
he takes great pride in late.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I think he's well ahead. He's got to be the favorite at this point, but know this, that Peter Mortel Holder of the Year award, not easy to get. It's a marathon. Mm-hmm. It is a marathon.
That's right.
It is not a sprint.
You got to be consistent. But in all honesty, Pat, and I will say this.
Every day.
I'll close on this.
Every day.
The other day, if you look at pictures of when he did that against Clemson, he's wearing a green rubber band wristband, a Michigan State green wristband, because his individual coach growing up in showcase camps at all the Cole camps was Mike Sadler, the late, great Mike Sadler. And we were with Mike that day that the tragedy happened. And just know this, all the fun we're having joking around with what John did against Clemson and fooling them in that key moment of the game, the only thing he cared about was letting Karen Sadler, Mike's mom, know that he was thinking about Mike and thinking about her. That's all he cared about this weekend, and that's why he had that on. If you look at all the pictures, you'll see
that is awesome. That is awesome. That's in the punter kicker community. That's obviously a legend that passed away way too soon. But we can't wait to hear you call West Virginia, Texas this weekend. We appreciate you so much, Tess.
Guys, I love visiting with you. Keep it going. Hashtag get hot.
Hashtag get hot, stay hot. Pal. Get hot, stay hot, pal. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Tessitore. Yeah. Hey, Tess, appreciate you, man. So that was an audible call that John Tessitore took into his own hands and did that against number one Clemson on ABC.
Wow. Big gut sack.
That is awesome. I was never given that freedom.
Are you shitting me? You weren't? You couldn't just stand up and go try to draw him offside?
No, fuck it. I'm going flank out. Yep. Could you imagine if I would have done that? I was given the freedom to do hard counts and stuff like that, but never stand up. Send out the wing. Yeah. Go ahead and line up a wide out, kid. Off the ball, please. Thank you. Hey!
What would Chuck say to you doing that?
Oh, that would have been awesome. If it would have worked, it would have been awesome.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, it was, well, we'll talk about this tomorrow. All right, that's the show. Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure if Aaron Rodgers is going to be on tomorrow. They play on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Would be kind of rude of me to ask him to potentially skip practice because it does feel like they need practice, but not on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, and we will see because they did have a positive COVID test. It was the A.J. Dillon. So I don't know if they are going to
play on Thursday.
Well, I think they'll play probably, don't you? It's just I don't know if they'll go into the facility tomorrow.
Well, contact tracing, got to do that whole thing. He handed the ball off to him a couple times there, right? You got to be pretty close when you hand the ball off to the fucking guy.
That's what I worry about, yes. But if I know Raj, he knows that it takes all of us. He was doing everything, you know, to be precautious. I think he's fine.
So we're saying is tomorrow's a big day,
mm-hmm.
and it might be Aaron Rodgers Tuesday still.
Maybe.
If not, you need to get out there, okay? You need to get out there tomorrow and fucking dive all the way into America's trade deadline in the NFL.
That's right.
We'll cover all that and more tomorrow. Be a friend, tell a friend. Ty Schmidt, please play some independent music. By the way, what song I want you to play?
Mm-hmm.
Year of the Buffalo, Ohio River.
You got it.
Fucking heater. You're welcome. See you tomorrow.
are coming. They're coming for me. They are coming. It was fast living and the money too. And I had loving sweet as honeydew. Now they're coming. They're coming for me. They are coming. Now if I go, honey, let me go down the river on the Ohio. Bury me deep in the water wide. I'll see you on the other side. If I go, honey, let me go down the river on the Ohio. Bury me deep in the water wide. I'll see you on the other side. I'll see you on the other side. They are coming. They're coming.